Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. We are broadcasting live this week from 6 to 8:30 a.m. from City's brand new space at 268 Orchard Road, the City Wealth Hub. It's time now for the Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. And really, it's all about what we're tracking overnight. And the Fed seems to be front and center on two key issues, what they are moving and what they are not moving.
So it is a bit of a brighter outlook if you look at some of the indications coming through. They are raising the outlook for this year and next year. At the same time, what's also interesting is what they did or did not do, like you mentioned. The bond buying program, they did not change the size of it. They did not change the composition of it, but they did give a bit of guidance that, hey, we are going to be a bit more committed to it and to continue buying bonds until we reach our targets for full employment as well as price stability. So that is versus the previous language of just for the coming month. So a bit of a stronger commitment. To get a bigger picture on this and how it will shape markets for the rest of the week, let's get some help from Lee Kian Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management. Morning, Kian Soon.
Morning, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for coming in this morning. So we've got the FOMC, a very closely watched meeting. This is the last one for the year. Walk us through what you took away from this meeting. And we did see sentiment being lifted overnight. Is this going to set up markets for, I guess, a center rally for the rest of the year?
I think this is a very good meeting because the Fed chief has shown strong indication about what the measures they're going to take and providing clarity for the market as we see the U.S. market is on the brink of a recession moving towards a recovery. I think the measures are details and is within expectations of what the market are looking for. Specifically, I think people were a bit disappointed that there was no clarity on the duration, but I think Fed needs to retain its flexibility in the coming months, depending on how the economy recovery is going to happen. Overall, in terms of a center rally, everybody is actually waiting for the fiscal stimulus package that everybody is looking forward to, hopefully before Christmas. And I think that would set the pace for a Christmas rally this year.
Yeah, it's that time of the year when people are asking you to look at your crystal ball for the global market outlook for 2021. What would be, you know, your sense of where things are going for next year?
If you look at the year 2020, is a year that many chose, you know, to forget, or you know, many could actually remember because of, you know, the market turbulence, as well as, you know, the whole pandemic situation, you know, getting out of hand, and it has created a lot of market volatility. For 2021, actually, is a story about recovery. It will be a story about how the vaccine is going to help in the whole recovery process in terms of economic recovery, in terms of people getting back to the normal lives. So the market is actually pricing in for this. The market has expected the various global economies to, you know, heal itself, as well as with the rollout of the vaccines in stages, a better year ahead.
Yeah, so this year, 2020, has been quite unexpected in the sense that, you know, things didn't work out to plan when we started the year. What were your takeaways and lessons learned from 2020?
I think from an investor perspective, it's important to remember, if you look at in terms of staying invested or in terms of panicking and selling all your investments in March, if you look at 2020, if you have stayed invested, you're probably doing well. If you have panic and sell everything in March and at the same time, you know, you refuse to do any investments in the coming from April to June or July, you probably will have missed the biggest rally this year. So I think the key takeaway is stay invested. You could be flexible in terms of having a bit of sector rotation in your own portfolio, looking at which of the sectors are going to deliver. But having said that, you know, it could be a good year for people who actually is able to capture the opportunities.
Yeah, so talking about next year and trends that might continue, we've got headlines around how there are more companies in China defaulting on their bonds. Last month we talked, we had SOEs, state-owned enterprises, defaulting on bonds. And in the past week, we've got the likes of Chinese clothing company Shandong Ruyi also not paying up on bonds. Is this starting to become a point of worry, especially for banks who are exposed to the Chinese loan book or loan scene there?
I think the question is, what is the extent of all the defaults? Is this going to be massive across the industry, or is it going to be one, two companies? And this is a year where it's economically challenging. It's very challenging for most business. Defaults actually happens around the whole world, including, you know, our country in Singapore, for companies that don't perform well and do not have enough cash flows. I think what is clear from the lessons we've seen in China is they are not going to let the SOEs get away with not defaulting, and they're not going to bank run them forever. And I think it's actually a healthy sign in the longer run and for the whole market, because you need to let companies that are underperforming and not paying back their loans default. And then from there, you could restructure itself and move on.
So it gets the market reset and, I guess, align the risk premiums a bit more accurately. And also, still in China, you've got the tech companies under pressure. You're invested in some of them. What's your sense of where things are going? Is this the time to, you know, buy on the dips right now? Or do you think there's going to be more further downside with the regulatory pressure and pretty much a lot of uncertainty around what's happening between US and China still?
I think with the tech firms, the interesting thing is the regulatory policies that are coming into place for a lot of these giants that are deemed as monopolistic. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, the policies would actually give them more pressure in terms of the ability to grow their business. As we have seen, a lot of these platforms have actually grown to a size that is in trillions of dollars. I think they will continue to function on its own. And if the policies are not too restrictive, I don't see huge pressures on their business going forward, because they have already built economies of scale. In terms of being pressured by the US-China trade tensions, I think this pressure is released because we saw a lot of these giants who are actually very profitable has moved back to the Hong Kong market to release itself. So this provided them with a, you know, alternative way of raising capital and not being at the, you know, mercy of the US stock markets alone. And I think this is a healthy sign, as we've seen a lot of these tech giants being relisted in Asia, and they will be able to continue to raise capital or do bond money raising in our parts of the markets.
Yeah, and Ken, so just to wrap things up, right, you talked about tensions. We've got the overnight headlines around the US Treasury Department designating Switzerland and Vietnam as currency manipulators for the first time. And this is interesting because it's also got a long watch list of countries is also tracking. Singapore is on top of it, or at least on it. What's your, you know, reading into this move right now, and what's the potential market impact?
So this is not the first time Singapore is being mentioned. I've heard it and we have seen the it's an annual report. Our names were mentioned a couple of years ago and it comes and go. They do this on an annual basis where they identify, you know, the currency gaps and start pinpointing countries and so that they could take note and not to devalue their currency so much. But it's an ongoing thing, right? And, you know, looking at how much money the United States is printing, the US dollars will be under a lot of pressure. So very soon, you know, the lease might grow, right? And the lease might grow longer if it continues to print money. But what does it hopes to achieve is ultimately interesting. I think it's more a political tool that United States is using to achieve their means.
Yeah, so it's interesting because that could mean that Asian currencies could go up in the near term, at least. Well, we've been chatting with Lee Ken Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management, helping us to break down the latest headlines. Ken Soon, thank you so much for your time today.
You're most welcome.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.